Bobby and Sarah. Thank you, Jack, for being here today, taking care of leading some worship today. And it's been a good, good day to be in God's house. Let's look together this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Now, I want to share with you a very familiar passage that will not bring any great mysterious revelations that we've not heard before, but there are some wonderful truths in this passage that I want to look at together. And it really is a continuation of what we started last week, the message that we shared on John chapter 4, the woman at the well, under the title Amazing Grace. This is another portrait in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, of this great, amazing story of God's wonderful grace. It's the story of the thief on the cross, one we've all come to know and be familiar with through the years. It is a scene at Calvary that is unlike any other scene that's ever taken place. Though there were thousands of people crucified, as the Romans' custom was to deter runaway slavery and punish criminals, never had there been a day like this day. For on this day, all of humanity was pictured as was that scene on Calvary as it unfolded. We saw one in the center, the love of the Lord Jesus, who died for the sins of the world. We have between two thieves, there's one on one side who died to his sin, came to the place of understanding that Jesus, there's something special about Jesus that he wanted and desired to have, and in saving faith trusted the Lord there on Calvary just before he died. And then there's the thief who died in sin, because he was close enough to Jesus, had his hands not been nailed to the cross, he might have been close enough even to touch the love of the Lord Jesus. But he chose instead to hang on to his unbelief and died in his sin. The truth is that all of us this morning can identify with one of those two thieves on the cross. Either we're still lost and have not yet trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we could be like, and I think most of us, maybe everybody this morning, is like that other thief who had, in that last moment, he discovered something he couldn't believe was true. That is, that he was being nailed to a cross right next to Jesus. There was something about that man that drew that thief to a place of confession when he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom." But I want to look at the passage together, beginning in verse 32 and reading through verse 43 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Beginning in verse 32, "There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." We're familiar with the story of the cross because we've talked about it so many times. It was the Romans' way of curtailing, as we've mentioned, runaway slavery and punishing criminals. And people often were nailed at the intersection of thoroughfares and traveling roads where the passersby could see them and be reminded of the high cost of rebellion against the law in Rome. And verse 33, "When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, one of the seven sayings from the cross, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots," or gambled, "at the foot of the cross for the clothing of Jesus. And the people stood beholding, the rulers also with them, derided and mocked him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.' And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, the language of culture, the language of learning, and the language of religion. 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.'" And in that statement, that thief no doubt expressed an anger and his circumstances and his desperation. Can't you do something if you're saved, if who you saved me or you are? If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, that is, rebuked the other thief, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we and thee justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss, or nothing wrong, nothing to be crucified for. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This is an amazingly familiar story. Yet it's one that's incredibly important for us to understand this wonderful portrait that the Lord's given us of amazing grace. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And there Jesus died in our place. But Jesus wanted us to remember the significance of that hour, not only because of the Savior dying on that center cross, but the unimaginable portrait of sin on either side, sin unconfessed, sin unturned from, that rebellious thief who still had a hardened heart. And yet on that other side of the cross, something happened to that other thief, just as guilty perhaps, but as the thief that had asked Jesus mockingly to do something. There's something that's happening in the heart of this other thief to soften his heart and give him receptivity to this Jesus that was hanging on the cross between them. And I like to call this message this morning briefly the conversion of a thief. Well, the subtitle would be Amazing Grace number 2. Last week was Amazing Grace, the conversion of the woman at the well. But today, the amazing conversion of this thief on Calvary. And I want us to think about just some simple truths that are so relevant to what it means to be saved. Because in that story of the conversion of the thief, there's hope for anybody who's never given your life to Jesus. By the way, I remember reading somewhere, I believe it was in John DeSantis' books, that this is the only deathbed conversion recorded and that we would understand to be a deathbed conversion. But it was one given that it was enough to remind us that God is a God of grace, and God's not giving up on us, and God wants us to be saved more than anything in the world. And if there's hope for that thief on the cross, folks, good news, there's hope for anybody here, anybody you may know, anybody you may love, who doesn't know the Lord. And so this wonderful story of this conversion of the thief, the story of amazing grace, has several aspects about it that are so simple, but yet they are so incredibly wonderfully important. What is it about this conversion that stands out that we ought to remember and be aware of, even as we share with others that we know and love that may need to be saved? Well, the first thing I want us to notice was that this was, as is every conversion, whether it's a conversion of a child who comes to Jesus at an early age, or whether it's a conversion of somebody who's older in years and has come to a place of understanding their need for a Savior, it was a wonderful conversion. Now, when I say wonderful, folks, I don't know of anything in my life that has ever happened that's had the impact upon me both in time and eternity. As that night, I gave my heart and life to Jesus at an old-time revival in Lacey Springs, Alabama. Every conversion, you know, sometimes we get carried away. The alcoholic gets converted, and we ought to rejoice because that's a marvelous act of the miraculous grace of God. Or the adulterer gets saved, or the pagan gets saved, or the infidel gets saved. Folks, they're all wonderful. There's something about when God turns a life around and God washes a sinner clean. They're all wonderful. And when Jesus said to that woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God, I imagine those words kept going through her mind over and over. If thou knewest the gift of God, then this thief on the other end of the spectrum of this woman's life, dying in his sin, came to trust the Lord Savior who washed him free from sin in this what we call wonderful conversion. Wonderful because of of the cleansing that it brought. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you grateful the blood of Jesus washes away all sin? Not everybody here is an alcoholic. Not everybody here is a drug addict. Not everybody here is, you fill in the blank about the wickedness that people can dive into. But everybody here is a sinner, or has been a sinner, who needs to be saved or has been saved by the grace of God. And your story is a wonderful story of grace of the Lord Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilt and stain. It's wonderful in its cleansing, wonderful in its transformation or its change. Now, I confess that this thief didn't have long to live. He only lived, well, on the cross for 6 hours, and it was somewhere probably around noon about this time. And we find that this thief did have an opportunity to manifest his transformed life. But I can promise you this, he was just as saved as was the woman at the well. He was just as saved as anybody in the Bible was with the record of their conversion. He was cleansed from sin, and he was changed. And listen, folks, if he didn't have the opportunity to share with anybody down here before he died, I guarantee you somewhere on the streets of heaven today is not only a woman who was cleansed from her sin, but a thief in his last hours. But let me tell you, I didn't have a chance to tell folks down on earth what a Savior I've discovered. But let me tell you about the Savior that all of us know together, and his name is Jesus. It's wonderful in his cleansing power. Wonderful his conversion was in his changing power. Wonderful in its eternal effects. There is a place called heaven, and it's made available to us by the grace of God through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. There is a fountain filled with blood. This thief's conversion was wonderfully amazing in so many areas, a wonderful, wonderful conversion. I'm so glad the Lord told us this story. Luke tells us this story. But it's wonderful because, secondly, the conversion of this thief is a simple conversion. We sometimes make things more difficult than they ought to be. Folks, let me give you some good news. Jesus has paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Aren't you glad you didn't have to know all of systematic theology before you got saved? You didn't have to understand Christology or soteriology or bibliology or missiology or all those things that they teach you in seminary. I'm so grateful for those great truths. But all I needed to know was I was a sinner who needed a Savior. Amen. And Jesus died for me. He's God's Son and paid the price for my sins. And I experienced that, did that thief, a wonderful and a simple conversion. When I couldn't do enough works to be saved, this thief could not do works enough to be saved, because, first of all, you couldn't do no matter how much time you had, but he just came to Jesus like he was. I love that old invitation hymn. It's more than an invitation hymn, "Just as I Am," for that one play. And I remember going to a Billy Graham crusade. I forget whether it was Nashville or Birmingham, but we went to a Billy Graham crusade in a big football stadium. And I knew at the end they were going to do what they always do. They sing "Just as I Am," that one play. And remember, if you see it on TV or if you've been in one of those crusades, and the aisles were filled with people coming. Some were counselors, just counsel others that were trusting Jesus. But this thief came just as he was. It was a simple conversion. All he needed to know was he, the thief, was a sinner who needed a Savior. And that it was a Savior who came to save sinners right next to him. And Jesus had said some things on the cross that caused that thief to realize there's something about this man called Jesus that I must not ignore or not pay attention to. His conversion was a wonderful conversion. It was wonderful as a simple conversion. I like this. His conversion, number three, was an immediate conversion. Now, that may not sound very significant. Jesus said it this way, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't have to go through catechism. He didn't have to go through being baptized. By the way, it's important to be baptized. Baptism is a very significant act of obedience. But baptism doesn't save you. And it can't save you. Baptism, it can't wash away any sin. It's a picture of our washing the blood of Jesus. But you see, you're saved the moment you repent of sin and by faith trust your life to the love of the Lord Jesus. It was a wonderful conversion. It was a simple conversion. It was an immediate conversion. Salvation takes place the moment a repentant sinner trusts Christ with all their heart and life and soul. By the way, I think it's not incidental. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto thee, for of such is the what choir? Kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It was a simple conversion, and by the way, the thief on the cross can be saved. A little child can be saved and realize he needed a Savior. And anybody can be, because his conversion was simple, it was wonderful, it was immediate. And also, the conversion of this thief was an unashamed, open conversion. There were hundreds, maybe thousands at the foot of the cross. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is this thief was unashamed to say, Lord, Lord. That word, kurios, Lord, meant one who was in charge of, one who was master over. And this thief was acknowledging, Jesus, you're not just somebody who's dying on the cross. You're somebody dying on the cross for me. And Jesus, would you just remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom? I'm so grateful that the Lord didn't cause us to have to be great theologians before we got saved. We didn't have to have all of life's problems worked out before we came to the Lord. We came just like we are, and it was an unashamed conversion, open, public. By the way, when you're saved, and the Lord wants you to be baptized, baptism is a confession of what has already happened in your heart, not. It's not, as we said a moment ago, it doesn't mean that the baptism washes away the water, but it's a picture of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. His was an unashamed, open conversion. And the conversion, this thief on the cross, was a complete conversion. Lord, Lord, and by the way, he trusted the Lord to wash away his sin, though he didn't understand all how it's going to work. And he called him Lord, curious. Jesus, you're not only a man dying for the world, you're a man dying for me. And Jesus, what about you? I understand. I surrender my life to you. Lord, remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. And this thief was confessing an unashamed, open conversion to the love of the Lord Jesus. It was a complete conversion. He came to trust Jesus as his Lord. And number six here, it was an abundant conversion. He discovered what the woman at the well discovered. If you only knew the gift of God, who it was that was offering to you, you would understand. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. By the way, thief, and I wrote this in our notes, got more than he bargained for. All he asked Jesus to do was just not forget. That was his way of expressing faith. Lord, I don't know all about this. And the thief didn't know all about heaven, apparently. And none of us really does know all there is to know. But what he did was, he said, Lord, when you come into your Father's presence, you come into paradise, just remember me. And that abundant conversion was, can you imagine when that thief died on the cross, took his last breath. And then when he opened his eyes in eternity, he realized he was in a place called heaven. Yeah. The last thing he ever expected. He just wanted to just don't forget me, Jesus. The Lord had more in store for him than he could ever imagine. If you knew the gift of God, if there's anybody here who's never trusted your heart and life to Jesus, you wouldn't wait another moment if you knew what the thief on the cross came to know. You wouldn't wait another moment if you knew what the woman at the well came to know. You wouldn't wait because, you see, he's waiting and he gave us this example to remind us that we could come to the Lord just like we are. It was a complete conversion. It was an abundant conversion. And it was a timely conversion. And that closed this morning. What do you mean, Brother Jackie? This guy's about to die. But, listen to this. This was his last chance. His last chance. But by the way, we don't ever know when our last chance is. If you've never trusted the Lord, you don't know when that time will be. There will come a time that you'll have your last opportunity to be saved. And that's why the Bible always says today is today, and now is the accepted time. And this is a story of amazing grace because it's a story of a man who came to Christ when he could. He did not delay because he could not delay. And it was, as I mentioned earlier, the only deathbed conversion recorded in the Scriptures. But it was there to remind us, I believe, that God's grace extends as far as it's needed and to take care of the sin problem that all of us have. Now, what are we to take home from this wonderful story of amazing grace, the conversion of the thief? If God can save this old boy, and save him at the most unlikely time, in the most unlikely way, there's not anybody here who can save. Nobody here so far gone the Lord's given up on you. You wouldn't be here if that was the case today. You probably wouldn't. And so the question is, Lord, thank you for giving us the story of the thief on the cross. What does it mean to me? It means I need to be able to look at inside of myself and say, I know that I know that I trust in Jesus. And if I died today, I'd have home with heaven. Not because I preach or sing in the choir or taught a class or came to church, but because I repented of sin and my faith trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That thief was saved by the wonderful grace of God. And if he could come back, if we could just do this, with this I'm done. We've got a special guest today. He's nameless. I don't know his name. He just says he's a guy who's a thief on the cross. He's come to share with us some words. I believe he'd say, folks, don't wait another day. Don't delay the greatest decision you'll ever make in giving your heart back to Jesus. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all of my sins. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from the Magdalene's land. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, which all that guilty sins. What a Savior. What a salvation. What a conversion. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we? As I think through and pray through the messages the Lord lays on my heart and share with you, sometimes I simply say in my heart of hearts, Lord, I never know the spiritual condition that all of our people are in. I can assume that most of us, surely most of us, maybe all of us, have trusted Jesus. But if that's the case, you know somebody. You know somebody who needs Jesus. You know somebody who needs to give their heart of life to Christ. And by being reminded of what a great salvation we have, may we live here as witnesses to the saving grace of God and be used to bring somebody else to trust Jesus. But if you've never been saved, we're going to stand and sing in a moment, hymn of invitation. That's what coming is. You can come today just like you are. Turn from sin, that's called repentance. And turn to Christ, that's called faith. And He'll save you today just like you are. Father, thank you for amazing grace. And we say how sweet the sound of saving the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. And Lord, as I pray this morning that anybody that might be here who's not yet trusted you personally as their Lord and Savior, we say eternally, yes to you today. And Lord, if there's somebody in our family, in our list of friends and neighbors and work associates, just know the Lord. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. And Lord, love that soul through us. And may they come to trust Jesus because we've shared them the story of our conversion of amazing grace. And Lord, touch lives according to your riches and glory today. In Jesus' name.